Blog Talk Radio.
My first guest is going to be Ben from Knight Riders USA, and he's going to tell us about his rally, and I'm going to bring Ben in. Hello, Ben.
Hey, how's it going, bud?
Good. How you doing, man?
Just another day in Central America, or middle of America, I should say. But we're just prepping for our rally on the 4th, well, for the 4th of July, starting in Independence, Missouri on the 2nd. Riding straight out 70 to 64 right into D.C., and we're going to be pulling into D.C. around noon on the 4th of July.
Okay.
Hundreds of bikes are joining in with us. It's all out of the lack of disrespect that our government has of listening to our voices. You know, currently a lot in Washington are not hearing us. They don't want to listen to us. They just want to listen to whatever their party tells them to. We're trying to get as many bikers as we can.
I get that when I go to the VA.
Amen. I'm with you on that one. No one wants to hear you. You know, I mean, you look at Kansas City today, they actually passed a resolution basically denouncing the laws in Arizona about their new laws requiring documentation. The mayor announced on a radio show shortly after that he's never even read the bill. He never read the law. How does he know what it even says?
I saw one today that right now everybody's jumping on the bandwagon, but they're saying that the white supremacists are behind the Arizona law now. Crazy.
No, we're just asking to prove that you belong where you belong.
That's true.
You know, that's, if you're here, just show me you deserve to be here, that you have the right to be here. Otherwise, get out and come back when you have the right. But Knight Rider is ultimately a watchdog group. Our goal is to set up local chapters all across the country and have groups of people watching their local government, basically saying, look, we see what you're doing, but you're not listening to what you should be doing. You're
right.
Constitutionally bound to listen to us. That's your job. That's why we elected you. And we just want the local the current administration, our Congress, our local governments, our state governments to listen to us. You do that and you look at it and you quit passing bills that have a 62% disapproval rating, such as the health care bill, and excluding yourself, we don't have a problem with it. Just do what's best for America and listen to the American people, because that is what's best for America. It's not what your party think it is.
That's true. I mean, for a while now, I've been trying to get people in California, you know, we got a helmet law, but if we had 50 or 40 or 50,000 people that are off their helmets for just one day, we'd shut everything down.
Missouri, where I'm at right now, we have the helmet law. You know, it's the same thing would go here. Illinois, luckily, doesn't have one anymore.
Right. I'm sorry I didn't go back there after I got out of the Marine Corps. But I'm...
Yeah.
330 days of summer sun every year, so I think I'm going to stay where I'm at. I can put up with the bullshit. It just keeps fighting.
Yeah, I'm over here in Columbia, Missouri. That's where Knight Rider's based out of. And we're looking for riders.
I put your web address up in the chat room.
Excellent. We're looking for as many riders as we can get. The more there are, the better. We're planning stops. We have a stop here in Columbia. Then we have a stop in St. Louis. where food's going to be provided. We'll have food out for the riders that are involved. We're giving out the shirts as part of joining up with the rally. We're having stops in Louisville, Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky, Evansville, Indiana. We don't want to stop in Illinois, really, but we'll have to for fuel. It's just high fuel prices. There's nothing really in Illinois to stop for. But
you got to live in California for high gas prices.
Oh, yeah, you got that, too, in California. But for the ride, there, the first part of the ride, that's our high gas stop. We're stopping in our evening stop. We have kind of going back and forth. Lexington and Louisville, Kentucky are so close together that both the host and those towns are kind of bidding against each other on where we're going to stop because they want all the riders there.
Right. Well, yeah, it's all about the dollar now, man. Everybody's ready to make a deal.
Yeah, they want them in their town because, you know, we're looking at right now at 200 riders, and this is what amazes me. 200 riders, and I look at what they do for a living. This is just awesome. I have lawyers. I have doctors. I have strippers, pastors. I mean, it's such a diverse group. I mean, I got a stripper and a pastor riding on a bike together. Awesome is that? That's America at its best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're setting aside every difference we have and going for the one thing we have in common. We're all Americans. We all love our country. We're the strongest country in the world when it gets down to it. We should always be the strongest country in the world. And, you know, what kills me, I served in the United States Air Force like you did in the Marines. And I watched Obama send somebody in his stead this weekend to place a wreath. That's an American tradition. This guy doesn't have a clue. He has no respect for the United States military.
No, and I understand they're trying to get all his records unsealed so we can find out he's not a natural citizen.
God bless this country when it does.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I feel so disrespected by the man that he can't, as our chief, our fearless leader, the man, actually come out and do a tradition. You know, the only time it hasn't happened since that monument had been created is at times of war when the president was out of the country, not when he's at vacation in Chicago playing with his kids. You know, I mean, it's disrespectful enough. His wife said right after he's elected that it's the first time she was ever proud of him being an American. That's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's this stuff that just drives, you know, the guy I work for, Knight Rider himself, today, I mean, he was talking about walking around the office. This is an ongoing political conversation in our office, and it's always interesting because today we're talking about the governor of Louisiana, and I was getting ready to post this on your blog. I'm going to afterwards. The governor of Louisiana applied for 24 permits to put sand berms, use other tools and techniques to divert the put them into action to divert the oil from rushing ashore. They waited 3 weeks and approved only six of those permits, and the others they just threw to the side.
Right.
You know, if you're the commander in chief, you're supposed to have your boys on the ground. Bush took crap for, you know, the whole Katrina crisis. He responded five times as fast as this guy did. It's the first biological,
it's going to be a mess.
It's a mess. And he's not. He took too long, and that's one of the big things we're talking about. If you're going to be the leader of this country, do us a favor. Be on top of it. Get your assets. Get your guys on the ground telling you what's going on the day it happens. And when red tape gets in the way, you're the president. You can get around it.
Oh, absolutely, man. Like anything else, you know, if you heard 12 guys got killed in Iraq and three bikers had a fight in a bar, somebody got stabbed, that would be the front page, and the Marines or whoever it was that got killed would be on page 12.
Exactly. You know, and the big thing that he brought back was in his election, he talked about he was more than just words. Well, Mr. Obama, right now you're just words, because you're talking a lot of talk, but so far he hasn't done anything when it comes to the walk. You know, he's a disappointment as an American president. I am really not happy with the way our current affairs. And, you know, that brings us back. That's what the point of this rally is. And, man, I would love to see you out there riding with us. I'd love to see everybody out there riding with us.
I was just back there in Tennessee at the beginning of the month, last month.
Beautiful state, man.
I got to ride around. It was great, dude. I forgot about all how that looked back there.
Once you leave Nashville and head down towards Chattanooga, that is one beautiful ride coming out through those mountains. That is one beautiful ride.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we want veterans, we want police officers, we want firefighters, we want people, man, we want whoever rides a bike. It doesn't matter which organization you're part of.
No, it doesn't matter what kind of bike you're on. It's all
it doesn't
about
matter
the
which bike you're on. If you show up on a moped, we're going to let you ride. We're fine with that. We might have to, like, hook you to the back of another bike so you can keep up.
Right.
But we want you to ride. But, you know, it's whatever you show up, and we want you there. Because the more people we can get, the better off we are. And it makes a bigger statement to everybody that sees it, every town we pull through. Because the one thing I always remember growing up, and, you know, here soon in Columbia, August the 1st, I'm going to have 60,000 riders are projected to come to Columbia, Missouri. That's a ridiculous number. You know, 60,000 riders, I'm dreaming that I can get 60,000 riders. I hope I can. But I remember watching 50 riders ride through town as a kid, and that's when I fell in love with motorcycles. Yeah, you know, that's why I knew I had to have a bike. But
everybody
stops and looks.
Yeah, I grew up across the alley in Chicago from the Angels clubhouse. That's when I got it.
Everybody has to stop and look at the bikes. Everybody thinks they're beautiful when they pass. I mean, it's a gorgeous sight to see all the chrome. See all the bikes rumble by. And, man, 50 bikes you can feel when you're standing at the side of the road. 100 bikes shakes the building. I don't even want to know what 60,000 bikes is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
They won't have a point. They won't have any other way but to listen to us at that point. So,
right.
I mean, that's what we want. And, you know, I register at nightriderusa.com. It's right there at Join the Rally. Actually, I think it's Join the Ride now. I think I had them change that because it wasn't exactly.
Yeah, two questions. So you got all your server problems handled?
The server problems are handled. We had that crash. That was unexpected. We were not expecting that response. It happened instantly almost. That night, it crashed out on us. We actually switched our hosting companies to a much larger company and purchased a lot more space. And we were receiving so many inquiries about us at one period that it just crashed our network. We just couldn't do it. So we had to upgrade. We weren't expecting that type of response. We're so happy that, you know, we got that response. But it's all fixed now. Anybody that's listening and wants to go out there and register tonight. You know, that's huge for us. If, you know, register. Get out there. Like I said, nightriderusa.com. Right at the top of the page next to our logo is Join the Ride, and it is it's right there. It's a few quick questions, name, email, any comments, and I think what type of bike you ride is what we added now. So we're trying to do that for the actual dealerships that are getting involved. They want to know what parts to have on hand for the Chaser trucks.
Okay.
So we're trying to get Chaser trucks. We got our actually we're going to have a bus with a nurse on board in case anybody gets heat exhaustion, needs to be seen by medical personnel. We have food and water being passed out the entire ride. A lot of food that's coming into this. The response of the local communities that are just embracing what this ride stands for is outrageous. I mean, it's awesome. You got to love it. When you actually have two cities with groups of people, different organizations debating or arguing against each other on who's going to offer us better accommodations.
Right.
You got to love it. I mean,
absolutely.
They want to see us there.
Absolutely. The other thing I was going to say is, feel free. And call me anytime. Anytime you want to talk about something, or if you want to plug this once a week until it happens, you got the chair.
I'd love to.
Yeah,
I'd love to be
chair,
right on, man. I will talk to you later. Thank you for
okay,
the time.
Buddy.
Everybody check out our website, www.nightriderusa.com. We look forward to all you all seeing everyone here at the Freedom Rally.
Okay, man. Take care.
All right, you guys have a good day.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, Betsy.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Phil?
I'm doing great.
Great. Hey, something I actually would like to talk about this evening.
Okay.
It's come to my attention from my involvement with Bolt that in California there is no standard motorcycle contract for insurance.
Uh-huh.
And that, in fact, most companies are not forthcoming with what type of contract and what coverage they're offering customers. I've been talking with Mac Henderson, and I know here in Massachusetts we were successful making substantial changes to not only the motorcycle contract and how bikes were classified, how experienced riders were classified, getting additional coverage in line with autos, and getting more med pay, et cetera. And when speaking with Mac Henderson, who's an insurance agent out there, I mean, I don't know how the California riders put up with that. And I've been trying to help him go forward with trying to make a change out there. But riders have to get involved. And I believe he's going to come on. And, you know, we talked about it earlier, and I kind of explained, you know, what people would be wanting to hear about the situation. Has he called in yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Oh, well, I hope he doesn't disappoint
you. Right. No, he's there right now.
Okay,
hold on,
cool.
One second. Hello, Mac.
Yeah.
Hey, Mac. It's Philip. How you doing?
All right, thanks. I guess I was pushing the wrong keys on the phone.
Hey, Mac. How are you?
Good, thanks, Betsy. How you doing?
Good, good. I was just giving a quick overview on what's going on out there, but I think because what the information I have is pretty much secondhand, and you're living it, so to speak, why don't you explain how motorcycle differs from auto insurance in California and why riders should be upset and wanting to make changes?
Okay, sure. First off, insurance varies by state, and so what the Department of Insurance tries to do to help the public out with on certain forms, such as homeowners and auto insurance, they try to create what's called a standardized form, and within the standardized forms, it just helps the consumer buy insurance, so it doesn't have to get an attorney each and every time to figure out what's in the insurance contract. Well, working on various policies for motorcyclists and looking at guys with claims, I soon found out that motorcycle insurance policies in the state of California are not written on a standardized form. So the coverage is all over the place. It's everywhere. Some insurance companies will write them on an auto policy. Some insurance companies will write it on a recreational vehicle policy. Some insurance companies will write it on their own created motorcycle policy.
Right.
So
and the problem with that, of course, is not with writing it, but when there's a claim as to how the coverage will respond.
Well, that's correct. The motorcyclist really doesn't know what kind of coverage he has.
Right. And do agents even know?
Usually, some agents do not. That's one problem that was brought to me by a certain company and where a motorcyclist came to me, they had insurance, they had an accident, and he was being denied the claim, so he asked me to look into it. And this particular company, I called him up, came across like I was a client trying to get coverage. And so I was talking to him about their coverages and going through it, and then I asked for a copy, a sample copy of their policy, and they refused to send it to me.
Now that, first of all, is a violation. If you were a customer, you have every right in the world to have a copy of the contract. So that right there is in violation, unfair and deceptive practices, and something should be done about that, number one.
Yeah, that's correct. And so what I did, I contacted the California Department of Insurance, and I said, here's what's going on. And the California Department of Insurance came back to me and said there is no law in California that requires the insurance companies to give you a sample policy prior to purchasing the product.
Yeah, but wasn't prior. This was a customer.
Yeah,
right?
I was going across as a customer. And, an insurance policy is a legal contract.
Right. In consideration of your signature and the premium paid, here's what you're supposed to get.
That's
and it's
correct.
Supposed to be spelled out in lay terms so that any person could understand it and any agent could easily explain it.
That's correct. So I thought that's a neat trick. Here it is. The law was created. So by law, I have to enter in this contract. But by law, I'm not allowed to see the contract before signing it. I thought that was a pretty neat trick.
Yeah, that is about as unfair and deceptive as they come.
Yeah.
I mean, that is legal extortion, basically.
Give
me your money. I'm not going to tell you what you get, but just give me your money and sign here.
You'll see it after you get the policy.
Yeah, and then it's too late to make any changes. You know, you're locked in. That's not right at all.
So you and I
have been working together to see what we could do about this. First thought is to contact a biker-friendly legislator and propose a law that changes that. And the second thing would be to, now you call it the DA, we call it the Attorney General out here. I mean, I'm thinking it's one of the same.
Same thing, Attorney General.
Listeners out there live in California and don't know what they have, then they need to jump on board with this so we can make changes. And as I said, I'm even willing to go out, fly out there, and, you know, do my bit, even though I'm not a resident of the state, just because it is so unfair to motorcyclists.
Yeah, correct, yeah. Yeah, the coverage that brought this to light was... I always preach, and I'm sure you do as well, is that motorcyclists should carry uninsured and underinsured motors.
Correct.
And that protects them for bodily injury caused by another driver who may not be properly insured.
Right.
And so my question to this one company was, if a motorcyclist is involved in a hit-and-run accident, will you cover them for bodily injury? And the company came back and said, you have to prove that the guy that hit you and ran did not have any insurance.
But it's not just any. Maybe he's underinsured. You have either or coverage. And excuse me, the red paint on my black bike shows you he hit me.
I know. So that was. I thought. How was a man to hit, killed motorcyclist supposed to do that? But other companies will cover it. So that's why the coverage is all over the place.
Right.
That's why it really needs to be standardized.
Absolutely.
And consumers should be allowed to review the policy prior to signing the contract.
Right. I mean, nowhere else are you, you know, expected to sign a contract without knowing what the hell you're signing. It's just not good business.
I know.
And it's not allowed anywhere else, but yet for insurance they allow it? That is bizarre. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is my first time in 30 years in insurance business that I was denied a sample policy by an insurance company. And so I had no idea that there was no law requiring it. until I contact the Department of Insurance.
Well, do you know any biker-friendly legislators? I know, wait a minute, don't we have a Bolt attorney out there?
Oh, yeah, well, we have
somewhere
yeah,
else.
Yeah, no, we do have an attorney in San Diego, and we do have some hopefully biker-friendly legislators out of my area. I do know of a couple. I can always ask the question, and we'll see what happens.
Right.
We have Doug Finley. He just came out from the East Coast, and he's been banging some doors and handing out literature for some candidates down here. So it's up in my blog. I'll put it on the chat.
Yeah,
but he's looking for volunteers.
Great.
He's got a bunch of biker-friendly legislators that need our help.
Fabulous. Because, you know, what I found back here is the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And, you know, if you complain enough and to the right ears, something is going to get done. Now, it won't happen overnight. I mean, it took us a couple of years to get almost everything we wanted. The only two things we were denied was the multi-vehicle discount and the anti-theft device discount for the regular Harley alarms. But other than that, everything else we asked for, we were granted. And, I mean, that was huge. And so I'm thinking that, you know, you guys should be able to do the same thing.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot. We'll go for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we just had Art out of San Diego say that we got to do Cheney, and she just started a helmet repeal legislation bill.
Oh, okay.
All right, so she could be a person in our corner.
Right.
Yeah. She is a good choice. Yeah, you're right.
She also, Duchaney is from San Diego.
Okay.
I know California is a big state. The other thing you want to do is you want to find out how many people ride out there, because that's going to be a representation of voters and consumers that are affected by this. And I think that's the angle to use, you know, to show how many people are affected by this unfair and deceptive practice. I mean, when you come up and say, you know, we have 340,000 or a half a million people in the state that are affected by this unfair practice, I mean, ears should pop up and eyeballs open, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's about 1.2 million.
Is it? Well, hello. I mean, that's an extra zero. That's even better.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, so anybody that feels they want to get involved with this, you know, they should contact you or me, give us their name, which carrier they're with, and even get us a copy of their policy. And the more ammunition you have, the more we can go forward with and see if Muhammad can move the mountain here.
Perfect.
If you want, Mac, I'll throw that up in my blog. I'm getting over 50,000 hits a day.
That'd
yeah, yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, do that. Yeah.
Okay. Do I put your phone number and everything in there too?
Sure. Yeah,
okay.
Put my yeah. Go ahead and do that.
Okay. And then, hey, let me ask you this: what happened with that? Did you talk to a commissioner, or they gave you the runaround or something?
I didn't give you the runaround. I talked to the the Department of Insurance. All they can do is follow the laws. And I didn't realize that there was not a law to require a
right. But didn't the guy try and intimidate you because
he
liked being pushed up against the wall?
Yeah. What I was trying to do, my background is commercial lines, and I was trying to find out what the standardized ISO, which is insurance jargon,
right.
Policy
insurance
form number.
Services Office, which is the office that is nationwide that draws up policy language, standard policy forms. Most carriers do adopt ISO forms, and some others don't, but they're supposed to be forthcoming with what their policy language is and how the policy works.
Yeah, correct. And I sent them several emails, and I never did get the ISO policy form from them. And I went to them as a consumer, which I am as well, and but because I have an insurance license, they came back and said I should get that information from my insurance companies. And quite frankly, the few companies I went to didn't have it. And then I was told to contact the ISO, which is the Insurance Services Office, and
right.
they wanted
New York.
Yeah, they wanted $505 to to get it. But yeah, here's another thing. And so talking to the Department of Insurance, I asked them if they could send me a copy of the policy forms, because these forms have to be filed with them.
Exactly.
And they said they don't do that. And I said,
get an attorney to subpoena them? They can do it.
I know. I asked them, how is a consumer supposed to look at these policies? And the response was that the California Department of Insurance has a viewing room in Los Angeles. And so you're supposed to fly to Los Angeles, go to the viewing room, and ask to see the policies.
What?
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
I know. But I may
maybe,
as well.
Maybe next time on my trip out to see my sister, I'll go to L.A. and go to the viewing room.
Yeah, I just, I've never...
And then make copies. My God. Everything's about the almighty dollar. That's disgusting.
Let me see if I can
do a search online and come up with the ISO form.
Yeah, I try to find it, I've never had this problem before. I mean, every company I've dealt with has always easily supplied me the forms, and
right.
I've never had to go to the DOI. So this was completely unexpected.
Right. I mean, it's almost like, oh my God, it's motorcycling. It's coveted. It's like, you know.
Yeah. You know that's like when I had my accident and they fixed my bike, but I had a nick up in my reservoir for my brakes, my front brakes,
yeah.
And it was leaking. It was not real bad, but, I mean, it was weeping. Whenever I hit the brake, it would weep. So I called them up, and I said, hey, are you going to change my brake line? And she said, no. Okay. I said, then can you send me a waiver? And she said, a waiver for what? Well, you know the brake line's bad. You're not going to change it. I need my bike for transportation.
Right.
Within 20
minutes.
If
anything happens, you want to put the onus of responsibility right back on them.
And within 20 minutes, they called the shop and told them to change it, order a new one. only because I pushed for it when I said, she thought
right.
I was just going to take no for an answer. And I said, well, then you need to send me a waiver.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's basically the same kind of thinking we have to use here to make a change in California.
Yeah.
But Mac, what is it? Like 2.3 million bikes registered in California?
No, it's about 1.2.
Yeah,
which is a lot.
Yeah, I'm thinking one of my neighbors works at the DMV. I was going to ask her if she could research that for me.
Philip, if you could get this, would be huge. We don't want names of people. We just want like numbers by counties, and then a total, annually. That would be helpful, because I think when you go to the DA or the AG or whatever, and
so you're talking about registered ones.
Registered motorcycles, right? Not. Oh, and then ask if they would be kind enough to give you the number of people who have motorcycle license who are even potential consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you'll find maybe another 500,000 or a million or so. I mean, now you're talking some huge numbers, and they really can't turn their back on that kind of numbers. I mean, we did it with a dozen people here, and we had at the time like 187,000 people registered,
Wow.
and a dozen people made it happen. So, it doesn't take a lot, but when you push the right buttons, throw the right numbers, hit the right people. And
right, we have a couple of callers that have some questions.
Oh, cool.
Hmm.
Hello, Art.
Yeah, Art here.
How you doing, Art? This is Mac and
Ben. Art, how are you?
I'm doing good, listening to you folks.
Thanks.
You bring up some very interesting points I hadn't really thought about.
Mm-hmm.
you know, because most of the time you're just trying to get the insurance and you don't
and get on the road and go.
Yeah.
But, you know, the insurance isn't any good until you need it to work for you. And there's only two kinds of bikers, the ones that have gone down and those that have yet to, so they say.
Well, I'll agree there. I'm one of the ones that have gone down, so
yeah,
I've already covered that side. But now that you guys bring it up, you know, it's kind of pretty obvious that you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And,
but yet
and maybe
they're turning a blind eye to all these consumers, and that's just wrong. And it can get changed. So can we count on you to put it out to your friends and to get us a copy of your deck page so that we can see what carrier you're with? Because, you know, the DA will go after certain carriers as well. We just had a situation here in Massachusetts where, and here's another thing, I don't even know if this pertains to California, where the carriers were continually charging comp and collision rates on the cost new of a motorcycle, even though the contract is written with an actual cash value. And you and I both know that each year our bikes depreciate and the value goes down, but the insurance carriers were raking in those premiums. And so they got slapped, and they had to return the premiums to the people with 6% interest. So
yeah, I like that. But like I say, what you guys have kind of slapped us with is obvious, and definitely you have my support, and I'll bring it up to a lot of people.
Cool.
But it's not something I had really even thought about. You know, you start looking for bike insurance, and it wasn't like, you know, when they do the cars, they're telling you what you're getting in each area,
right.
You know, and the charges. It's like, okay, well, this is our fee.
Right.
You know, they want to know your age, what you're riding, and what kind of miles, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
but there's a lot
but that's
more
not right, because you're being sold a contract, and you have every right in the world to know what it is you're purchasing. Not here, sign here, give me your money, this is how much it costs, and goodbye. You need to know what you have. You need to be an educated consumer, because when there is an incident, you want the coverage to be there for you. And, you know, if they say, hey, the fee is $500, you pay your money, go out the door, and go down, and they say, oh, sorry, that's not in our contract, you're not covered, you're going to be upset.
Yeah. Well, I had talked to some people, and they talked about some things, and I keep meaning to go talk to my carrier about it, about phantom vehicles and accidents.
Right.
Once they cut you off but never really hit you, and you end up laying your bike down.
Right.
And it's like uninsured motorist type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And see if they cover it. I know some companies do and some don't. You know, and some still.
And you know what? For the carriers that don't cover it, maybe you should give your business to one that does cover it.
Yeah, most definitely. But, you know, I go to the COC meetings out here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I can definitely bring up there, that these people need to start asking questions.
Right.
And know exactly what they have and if they're actually covered prior to needing
exactly,
it.
Exactly,
you know?
Because after the fact is not the time to find out.
That's true.
Yeah, it's a little late.
Right. When you're going to put your name in that signature block and hand over your check, that's when you should be told what coverage, what you're covered for and how the coverage works. And it shouldn't be like, you know, cloak and dagger type thing. And, oh, I'm sorry, we can't divulge that information. That's utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
And unfair
now,
and deceptive practices. All of the above.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something for Phil here I need to put out is we have a church group out here, one of the Bikers for Christ groups, and
right.
Pastor Z runs.
Right.
And if a biker lays a bike down and goes into the hospital, they'll go in the next day and give the guy $250 cash, boom, as
that's
just
nice.
Here.
Yeah.
And the people.
We have a mass motorcyclist survivor fund when a rider goes down and unfortunately doesn't pull through. the fund will go to the family and help with bills and whatnot. I think that's tremendous.
I think that's good.
Yeah. You guys can do the same thing. We'll show you how.
Definitely. That sounds like something that's worthwhile out here, especially since it is year-round.
Right.
And the idiots are out there year-round.
That's
so,
right. Our riding season's a lot shorter than yours.
Yep.
So any other questions?
Let me bring him in real quick. Hello, Doc.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing? You got any insurance questions for Betsy or Mac?
Oh, insurance questions. Oh, shit,
yeah.
This would have been handy a year and some odd months ago when I got hit.
Yeah, and how did your insurance work for you then?
It didn't really do shit for me back then.
Well, hello, that's what we're talking about. Did you even know what coverage you have?
I had just the bare minimal because that's all I could afford at the time.
No.
I made a left turn. She made a illegal left turn right in front of me, and me and the old lady slammed right into her, going about 55 right into the side of her car.
Oh, wow.
I ended up breaking both my ankles, my tibia, my heel, both hands, cracked some ribs, sliced open my chin.
Wow. Can I make a friendly suggestion here?
Sure.
Load yourself up with bodily injury coverage or uninsured and underinsured motorists and optional bodily injury. That way, if, God forbid, this ever happens again, you've got somewhere to go to get your hospital bills and your pain and suffering covered, because most oftentimes those idiots that cut us off are riding around with a bare bones minimum in each state, and then there
you got nothing to get.
So you got
to
cover
I'm
your
still
butt.
Waiting to get settlement at $5,000. That's all I'm collecting. $5,000 of this accident.
Oh.
My bike was totaled. I was in intensive care for about a month.
And then
I was in a wheelchair for a couple months, and now I got a permanent limp, and I can't perform EMT jobs anymore because I can't stand on my feet for more than half an hour at a time without the metal plates starting to hurt.
Wow.
So, and
all
then,
right, so
my
for everybody
rod,
who's listening, please, please, please don't go and purchase insurance with the mindset of just getting the bike on the road and buying the bare bones minimum coverage. Always think of, do a little risk management, the worst case scenario, what's the worst that could happen, how will it affect me and my family, and load yourself up with a bodily injury, you know, for both you and other people, and buy MedPay so that you don't financially strap yourself and your family. Just a little friendly hint.
Absolutely. My old lady's got over $200,000
in
medical bills.
It doesn't cost that much more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I'll definitely make a better decision.
Sorry to hear about what happened to you. Did you know when you went in to purchase your insurance, did they offer you any higher limits? Because they're supposed to. Or did they just say, here
they did. They did. But because financially at the time I didn't really have that much money, I just went with what I could afford so I can get on the road.
Yeah.
With all the intention of
getting
better insurance.
You know, can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
I know you guys don't have like an off season like we do here. But if it's a financial thing, something you could do is in the months that you ride, you know, a lot, and I don't know if there's any months that you don't ride at all, but in the months that you're out there a lot, that's when you boost up the liability and then maybe drop it back in the other months. And then that way you might be able to, you know, financially withstand the premium change. Just a thought.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'll definitely look into that.
No.
Hey, I want you guys to listen to Doc went to court yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
A helmet ticket for his girlfriend.
How'd
it
go?
Tell us what happened.
Yeah, on the night that both of us were pulled over, because she was a passenger, and Officer Schickel had cited the both of us for a helmet violation, non-DOT approved helmet.
Schickel's the guy that started the ball rolling with all this bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks to thanks to my I would say diligent efforts, him and his partner are now in a car.
Cool.
I don't really see him downtown too often, but
yeah,
he ended up all this. It kind of tripped me out. All this information that he was spitting out about him being a helmet law expert and this and that and the other. When it came down to it, and we were at court, I don't know if there's some personal reason he wasn't there, or maybe the police department told him don't go because you're going to create more problems than what it's worth.
Well, isn't there a directive?
Well, they're following
the CH tickets.
They're following the CHP Bulletin 209 now, is what they said. The last public service public safety request I got says that.
Mm-hmm.
From January 1st of 09 to 12/31 of 09, and with Mark's help, we found out that he said he wrote over 150 tickets, but he only actually wrote 66, and then he wrote two of them for two different ones that were wrong, out of the same violations. And then I just sent the request off the other day for the answer from January 1st of this year until May 1st of this year to see how many more he's written.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm collecting all the data so I can send it up to Mark.
Good.
Here's my question. When we went for her court, we never really looked at the ticket. It was for the vehicle code 27803B, which is the rider of the motorcycle.
Hello?
The rider of the motorcycle was not wearing a DOT safety helmet. Now, she was a passenger, so it should have been 27803C, as in Charlie.
Right there, it should have been thrown out.
Because they didn't put that down. Exactly. So we went in. So this is where all the little questions are running into, is why did he not show up after everything that he said? And the biggest fight that she was going to bring to the table was, you know, did you pull me over for solely operating a motorcycle without a safety helmet? You know, that would have been the very first question she would have asked. And other than, you know, what motorcycle helmet enforcement policy do you have that I can read or educate myself on?
Right.
And
naturally,
would have pulled out
there isn't
that,
one.
You know, if he would have pulled out the that memo 209, then right then and there he would have just, you know, stapled his nuts to the wall.
Right.
You
know, you realize
but, you
only
know,
7% of the helmets that are even manufactured each year ever get tested, and that they're only tested for one point of impact, which is on the very top of the head, and only for speeds of 13.7 miles per hour. I mean, come on, how many of us are riding at that speed at any given time?
Well, that's like Mac. Mac went on, I guess, I got an email from Mac saying he went online.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with the first one you brought up, Mac?
The helmet ticket?
No, the helmets you researched. When you went to the first one, what happened?
Oh, yeah, okay. There's a website out there put out by the motorcycle I forgot what it is, but there's some sort of official advisory for motorcyclists and audit. You check on helmets and you type in the type of helmet and everything, and it comes back, and if it's been tested and approved by the DOT, there's a big green check there.
Mm-hmm.
So I emailed the owners of the place, and I said, when you say tested, are you telling me, or the people out there, that the helmets have been tested by the National Highway Safety Transportation Administration? And they came back and said no, because that's
mm-hmm.
the only authority that can actually test them. So I went on there, started punching up helmets, and I punched up an AFX North American Model 28. And their website, it says it's approved, all tested, all okay to go. I went to the National Highway Safety Transportation Administration website. We can look up helmets. And in 2008, it failed.
Talk about unfair and deceptive practices.
Yeah, so the first helmet I punched up, the first helmet I looked at, it's not approved. It's actually one of the rare moments when you have an actual illegal helmet.
You know, I don't know if anybody has the time, but those resources are fabulous. And if somebody would have the time to make a listing of all the helmets and then check them, you know, the claims that they make on their website, and then check them against what the National Highway Safety Association shows, I mean, that would be huge. I mean, that would be another resource, Philip, for court, you know?
You know,
there's another thing too, in general.
Yeah, there was an email floating around. You could buy a lot of 300 helmets for $600 for $2 a piece.
You could buy what?
Yeah, out of China.
The actual helmet manufacturing firm. Most helmet companies don't make their helmets.
Most manufacturers have left the shores of the United States to avoid liability claims.
Well, you can still sue the distributor, but the helmets are made in China now. And if you buy what Phil was talking about, the one official website where most people go to, they'll put any decal, any pattern, any name on them, and a full face helmet starts off, if you buy 300 or more, starts off at $2.36 a piece.
Wow.
Yeah, so I made for $1,000. I may become a helmet
distributor. Better buy yourself a good liability policy, honey.
Something happens. Just change your name. That's what these guys do. my corporation's bankrupt. Go ahead and go call China and say, well, change the decals.
Yeah,
call them this now.
But yeah, they can change your name to We F*** You Good. Shit like that.
Yeah, and then they only test 50 helmets a year. That's it. So. They can do this for a long time.
It's a ruse. I mean, where else in society do they mandate a piece of safety equipment that hasn't been proven safe? Where? Tell me where.
I haven't heard of one yet.
Yeah, neither have I.
Just like asking, what certainty can you tell me what a DOT-approved helmet is?
Yeah, you'll probably get 15,000 different answers from 15,000 different people.
Or you get the silence we just had when I asked that question.
Yeah.
There's no such thing.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right.
There's a lot of literature out there, but it doesn't add up to a hill of beans, and it says really nothing.
DOT doesn't even have a list of approved helmets, do they?
No, they can't. They'd be assuming liability.
Exactly.
So,
they don't want the responsibility,
right.
So they don't make one up.
Right. But you would think that if they put their sticker on it, that manufacturers would have to have a register with them and let them know they were doing it, and they would have some list somewhere saying all of these manufacturers say they have DOT approved helmets.
First off, they do not have a sticker. The Department of Transportation, the DOT sticker is not a Department of Transportation sticker. All that is a manufacturer's self-certification compliance notice that the manufacturer thinks his helmet will. Yeah. So yeah, that's the confusion. Now. That's why when I go on websites and tell people that DOT doesn't stand for Department of Transportation, everybody wants to hang me up by my thumbs as some sort of idiot. And one guy came back and said, well, so DOT is supposed to stand for DOT like DOT candy? And I said, yeah. that's all it stands for. The only time a helmet is proven to be perfectly legal is when it gets tested. And the only place who can test it is the federal government. That's it. So that's why those
7 a year. So how many helmet manufacturers are out there? How many models does each manufacturer have? What are the chances of the normal layperson walking in a place and buying an actually tested safe helmet?
But you know they had that one group that had one group that had a helmet out and it went to the Department of Transportation and they tested it, said it was bad to recall them, so they decided to put like an 03B. out instead of the blank, they put like B on the end of it now. Same helmet, and said, "Okay, we've done a change on it." And it took them another 3 or 4 years before they tested the second one. And they're going, "This is no better than the first one," so they put a C on the end of it.
Oh, gee. Here, we had a situation where the state police troopers were stopping us for novelty helmets and giving us tickets left and right. And we actually found out that the helmet that the state police troopers were wearing hadn't been tested and wasn't DOT approved. And actually one of the models they were using had failed. we brought that up into court. That ended all the tickets. The judge issued a directive, no more tickets. The head of the state police issued a directive, no more helmet tickets. That was 12 years ago. You guys are just dealing with that now, but it can be done, and it will be done. You just keep plugging.
Yeah.
And use every angle.
Yeah. Because, yeah, Phil brought that up out here that, you know, it's illegal once you get a helmet. Technically, it's illegal to modify it or paint it. You void the certification. But yet that's what our police department...
You don't violate any federal provisions of the law. Any provisions of the federal law, if you
excuse
alter it, if you send it to a company to have them
home,
pick for you,
I can pull my mattress tag
yeah.
off, you know?
Yeah. So... Well, yeah, when you can prove the police are doing it and then holding everybody else up, you know, and they're doing the same thing, it kind of makes it silly.
Well, the other day they had I was out at lunchtime at work, and they had Special Olympics running by. And they had the Highway Patrol, San Diego PD was at every light. And a guy was sitting there on a bike, and he was told to break traffic by the trolley station so they could run through. And I'm sitting there, and he had his helmet sitting on the back of his bike. And while we're and I asked him,
that's a no-no. He's supposed to have it on at all times when he's on patrol.
He was texting while he was sitting on his bike.
Why
and
didn't
helmet
you
off.
Take a picture of him?
Well, I didn't think of it at the time because I wanted to ask him a question because I seen the back of his helmet. There was no dot sticker. It was painted black and white, and it had a hole in it with a microphone sticking out of it.
Well, that compromises it right there, unless it was put there by the manufacturer.
Somebody just typed into the chat, next time you're caught riding without a helmet, just tell the police officer you're boycotting products made in China.
I like that.
I'm still looking. But, no, he got mad. He said, no, I asked him. I said, well, under the vehicle code, you know, you're not supposed to modify your helmet by drilling a hole in it. And then conveniently the radio went off and he had to leave.
Uh-huh. Well, next time you see an officer with his helmet off and texting, take a picture. Send it to his superior.
Well, absolutely. I've seen him driving and they'll pull you over for talking on the phone, but yet they're talking on the phone.
Yeah. Two sets of standards.
That's true. Doc, you got any more questions?
Yeah, I got a question.
Go ahead.
If we're talking them on...
Do me a favor and take it off speaker.
You are off speaker. I'm on a Bluetooth right now. It's the only way I can talk to you guys while I'm driving.
Okay.
I don't have a badge on my chest, so I can't get away with everything. Question is, why are we picking... on the little modifications that they've done to our helmet. I mean, if we don't say anything about it, then they shouldn't have any reason to say anything else about it. If we start nitpicking on them, they'll start nitpicking back, won't they? Because
not if they're found to be wrong.
No, not like what you just said. Not if we prove them wrong. And they already know it.
Like I said, here, you know, we proved that they weren't wearing DOT-approved helmets. You know, yeah, they look like bowling balls on their heads, but they weren't DOT-approved. In fact, the model that they were wearing had failed. So how can they stop us and ticket us when the safety equipment they're wearing isn't approved?
Okay,
you know, and so they stopped. They ceased and desisted.
Is that what happened? The helmet that they were wearing failed the standard number
28? Yep. Absolutely.
Those bastards.
Yep. And probably the same thing's happening out there. So there's another angle for you to go after.
Nice. Okay. Explain the modifications that they do to their helmets with the speaker or the little microphone and all that crap that they got.
And that's another thing. And you know how we did it is every time we saw a trooper, people would be taking pictures of them with their helmets on.
I thought about going around with the old lady and have her holding onto a camcorder to go around looking for police officers and following them.
going to go stats and you know what.
Okay, yeah. Well, my question is, where are you out of?
Me?
Yeah.
Southern California.
Okay, well, 4th of July down at Fiesta Island in San Diego, there's a helmet protest, and there always seems to be a whole bunch of cops down there, and a bunch of them have motorcycles. So if you want to take pictures, that's a good place to start.
Yeah. He lives in Oceanside, Art.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
that's the guy that got those tickets up there.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, now I know.
Well, that's where you are, isn't it, Phil?
That's correct.
Okay. So that's about 80 miles from Palm Springs, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Hey, and from what I heard, I spoke to somebody who knows Schickel from when he was a Marine, and they said that his first bike was a shovel head, and the helmet that he wore was a little brain, a little skid-lit brain bucket. It's kind of ironic because the guy is wearing an illegal helmet, but then turns around and starts enforcing people to wear a DOT helmet. You know, and I read on the inside of the helmet, the DOT helmet, the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standard number 218. Under all the crap that it says, there's a statement in there that says that this helmet will not protect you from any unforeseeable damage. Well, pretty much every accident is unforeseeable.
Can't hear you.
So somebody's trying to work and talk at the same time. We're having a hard time hearing you.
Yeah. He kind of faded off there. All I heard was under
the...
That's better.
Well, okay. The Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standard tag that's on the inside of the helmet states in there that this helmet will not provide you or protect you from any unforeseeable accident or damage.
And that's their disclaimer, so they can get out of paying a liability claim.
How they want you to abide by that. You know, you want me to put my life into this helmet, and it states here. It right there is a tangible piece of evidence that states that this helmet will not protect you. Unforeseeable accident.
Hello,
the problem is that
I
if there was an accident
before.
That was unforeseeable, nobody would go.
That's what I said before. Where else in society do you see a piece of unsafe equipment being mandated to be worn or used?
Yeah.
Nowhere. Yeah. I mean, this is the biggest no-brainer, but because legislators think they have to protect us from ourselves, what we need to protect us from is those idiots out on the road who for years and years and years have been driving and never been informed that a motorcycle is, in fact, a motor vehicle and has the right to share the road.
Oh, absolutely. You know, just even something else to throw out there is, I served in the military for 6 years, and I had some of the crappiest gear that was there. I mean, it wasn't as bad as what they went through in World War II and Vietnam. It was certainly better, but nonetheless, you know, you want me to go overseas into a combat zone and trust my life in this Kevlar helmet that won't even stop a 9mm bullet.
Well, that's because you get the low bidder.
Nobody says anything over there. Oh, yeah, they got somebody else to replace me in a heartbeat.
Well, the low bidders, I don't know if you guys know, but the federal prison system is under contract to make the helmets. And a couple weeks ago, I read the story about where they had to cease and desist because there's 44,000 helmets out there that didn't pass, and nobody knows where they're at.
Right. I saw that article.
It's just ironic that they don't complain about what we're using over there, but they complain about what we're using over here.
Well,
if anything, I think a football helmet would protect me better.
The military has done a lot of clandestine stuff, you know. I mean, in all areas, you know, starting with chemicals and everything else. You know what they subject the soldiers to is disgusting. And that's another topic for another day, right?
Yeah, it's
true. I'm going to take a break for a minute.
I'm going to play a song,
I'm going to bring Janine on about 7:15, so I'm going to play this song, and then I'll be right back.
Okay,
cool.
All right, so if you guys want to hang on or hang up and then call back, it's up to you.
Okay.
Hey.
Janine. Hello, Janine. Betsy. Betsy.
Yeah.
Hey, we're back.
Hey.
That was Baker. You can get that at bakersongs.com. I'll throw that up in the chat.
Okay.
And waiting on Janine. She should be right there.
Okie doke. You know what happened is I went to pick something up off the floor. I had the phone in my ear, and it hung me up.
Mm.
I hate when that happens. That was pretty good, huh?
Yes, thank you for that. That was great information.
Oh, hopefully, good. You're welcome.
Can we get some followers on that one?
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll plug my biker bits, too.
Yeah, I just got an email that Sonny's book signing is canceled.
How come?
Well, it doesn't say, but I'll find out. But he has committed to autographing all the pre-sold VIP books, and those will be shipped out after January or June 14th when Sonny returns from Europe.
Oh, okay. So send me the stuff. I'll put it out there.
Yeah.
I sent you something just before I came on the air.
About Texas?
Huh?
About Texas?
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and I got something else from Florida, too. The guy who's running against Doc wrote me an email.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's interesting, too, his views and his thoughts. And he's pretty secure on the fact that he feels they're going to beat Doc. But I guess the question still remains, will he remain as the state lobbyist, you know? But I guess we'll have to wait and see on that. But anyway.
This is a personal email from Rusty to me from both him and his wife, Kale. And it says they're very sorry to announce the cancellation of the June 12th open house event at Delusion Cycles with Sonny Barger. Please be advised we are officially canceling this event. Forward it to your friends. Sonny is committed to autographing all the pre-sold VIP books, and they will be shipped out after June 14th when Sonny returns from Europe. I will personally make sure everyone receives their books. Both Rusty and myself wish to say thank you for the excitement and response we received about this event. And thanks, Kale. Any questions? Could be at 714-771-9000 or kbunny@cox.net.
Or you K-Bunny call and ask?
No, you have to call and ask, Betsy. I'll keep you in the loop.
Inquiring minds want to know.
No, by tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're just waiting for Janine. She said she was stepping out for a smoke. I don't know if she...
Well, tell her to bring the phone with her like I do.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Janine.
I'm right here.
Perfect.
How are you, honey?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you tonight.
Yeah. Hi, Phil.
Hello, Janine. How are you?
I'm excellent.
That's good. Yes, it was a burrow. Yes, the truck broke down. Yes, I saw it come over the hill. That's all I'm going to say.
That's insane. Oh, we were just watching Hang 'em High. That's what it reminds me of.
I got a caller that wants to ask you a question.
Oh, and
absolutely.
I got a question too, but I'll save it.
Okay.
Hello, Sam.
Yeah. Phil?
Yes, yeah, say hello to Janine.
Hello, Janine.
Hi.
Hi.
Just saying,
can you hear me?
Like a little advice.
Yes.
I'm having a relationship problem.
Oh,
so,
no.
I thought I was in love with this guy, but I don't know if I am or not. And then I kind of effed things up by emailing him a really dirty email. It was really mean.
Oh.
And I don't know. I don't know if I'll get him back. I'm a Capricorn. He's a Libra on the cusp.
That's actually a pretty cool mix, actually. But you know what? You have to remain very happy, okay? Because that's the first card I flipped over, was that your happiness factor needs to come first, okay? This guy is argumentative. For whatever reason, he has like a chip or something, and when he goes to fight, he aims to win. So it's an argument. You have to pick and choose your arguments with him very carefully, because he'll fight until you lose.
Yeah, correct.
Does he do that with you?
He has, but not really. He's like you said, he's real. The reason why we broke up mainly was because he didn't have any time for me. I didn't see him Monday through Friday. I only saw him on the weekends, and I didn't know. It just started to get on my nerves. He doesn't have any personal obligations, and I was just like, okay. At first, I was like, all right, la 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 la. And then after a couple of months went by, I'm like, I'm getting sick of this.
Yeah, you can't. Your happiness factor needs to come first. So if you decide to let this guy go, I would shoot for somebody that really, truly can cater to your happiness factor, because he's just not hitting the mark, and that's very important to you. And you need to be free and happy in a relationship, and I see this being a lot of work on your behalf if you try to make it work with him. And I'm not saying that you don't love him, but maybe in time that love can turn into maybe a memory. But I think there's a part of him that sort of caters to guilt. Like if he thinks that you feel bad, he'll feel guilty for that, and he'll cater to that part of, like, to try and make you feel better, but he doesn't necessarily mean it. So maybe just be careful of who he is as a person, do you know? Focus on who he is as a person rather than what he's doing, because if you don't see him Monday through Friday, then I have a feeling that there's a drive there that you can't compete with.
Yeah. Huh?
I wonder if he's married.
He's not married. I used to go over to his house and have dinner with his mom and stuff. But, maybe he has a secret wife on the side. I don't know. But the problem is he was really good in bed. that's one of my problems, okay? I'll tell you right straight up, okay? It was great. It is.
That again.
Huh?
You can find that again.
Yeah, but he's 56 years old. Was the guy on medication?
I don't know. Maybe he took a little blue pill. Who knows?
I don't know. But whatever. I guess that's a sign that I don't know.
That makes me wonder if you're not just hung up on the sexual aspect of it.
Of course I am. Of course I'm hung up on that. Of course I'm hung up on that, and then and at the same time, I just want him to, like, want me back again without me being so obsessed with him myself.
Well, you know what? I think that maybe you should let him fly and see where it takes you, but I would try to see if you can let him go a little bit, because let me tell you, there are other guys that are just as good in bed.
It's not better.
And you need
what should I do? Like... What should I do? Not see him for a while? Because every Saturday I see him at this one place.
So let him go, honey.
Out of sight, out of mind?
I think sometimes silence is a better message.
Restrain yourself. What? Don't wear your heart on your sleeve.
So basically, don't go around where he is for several months.
The history is good enough, he'll come back and say, you know what, honey, I miss you.
Yeah, God, I doubt it. Excuse my language. I told him off bad.
Don't worry about that. You can say anything you want here.
Huh?
You can say anything you want here. There's no 7-second delay here.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, I messed things up pretty bad there. So, I guess I'll just have to move on.
The other message that's coming up here, too, is that he will keep you in the dark, and he gives you what you need to know.
So that's the last card that I get, is that he
ooh,
it's a guilt factor.
Who wants
factor.
A guy that isn't forthcoming, you know? You want
well,
someone to be straight up with you.
Right.
He's going to keep me in the dark for how long?
That's who he is. That's who he is. So I'm saying that, I'm not saying to let him go entirely. I'm just saying maybe the better message would be to be silent for a while and see what comes back to you. But, you know, the first card that I flipped is a happiness factor. And that is something that you have to search out and make happen for yourself. But don't make the guy happen for yourself. Because if it's not him and you're trying to project that happiness onto him and it's not coming back to you, you'll never be happy. You'll just be chasing happiness. So try to maybe find somebody that is a little bit happier and that will match your energy, because this guy does not match you at all.
God, that is crazy.
Yeah,
well, I guess
it's not a good. But you know what's interesting is you told me he's a Capricorn. Well, I have one of the best friends.
I'm a Capricorn. He's a Libra. I'm
oh,
a Capricorn,
he's a
but he's on the cusp.
Yeah, he's
October
on the cusp.
October 21st.
Oh.
Yeah,
well,
he's on the cusp.
I have one of my best friends of my life. She's a Capricorn, and I'm the Libra. And let me tell you, she is like one of the best people I could ever have for a friend in my life. So I find that the fact that he's a Capricorn, or you're the Capricorn, he's the Libra, and it's not working, I find that kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, I got tired of, like I said, seeing him only on the weekends, and you know, he works all day until night, so I guess that was his problem. He told me he didn't want to see anyone or hear from anyone when he got off work.
Well,
he was talked out.
Well, he was letting you know. He was letting you know that's how he wanted it. So if that doesn't match up to what it is that you want, that should be a red flag right there.
Yeah.
I don't care how crazy in bed he is. That's not worth it. It's just not worth it to put up with all the
right.
side effects. You know what I mean?
Don't give up on the Libra either.
Don't give up on the Libra.
I haven't. I just, you know, everything I read said that the Capricorns and Libras don't work.
Well, you know
so.
What? I got to tell you, there's someone else here for you, and I didn't do a flip on that. There's a guy in your life right now that you're overlooking. I don't know if he's coming across to you as like a friend, quote unquote, a friend, but there's something that you're missing with a guy in your life currently.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you have a guy in your life right now?
And maybe he's every good and bad.
That's what? Do I have a guy in my life that's what?
Maybe he's every bit as good and bad. You don't know if he's just a friend.
But what were you saying about the cards? Do I have a guy in my life that's what?
That's just a friend. That comes across as just a friend. He's very patient. He's very kind. He's very quiet. And I think you discount him.
I do have a friend like that, but I haven't known him that long. I've known each other for like a year or two, but I just started talking to him more recently. And I don't know why.
there's something there. So just pay attention. I'm not saying you have to go for
what
it.
Is,
I'm not saying,
what is his name? How do I know who this guy is?
Okay, is there a Jeff in your life right now that fits the
Jeff?
Description? Okay, probably him.
Jeff, I don't think I know any Jeff, but I have a Garrett that I know.
There's a Garrett?
Garrett,
maybe
yeah.
Maybe look for a Jeff.
Jeff, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff,
I don't know. That's what I get for
huh.
a name. If it's not him, okay, and if it's the guy that you're talking about that you talked to him just recently, you've known him for about 2 years, and you're
yeah.
just recently talking to him, if it is this guy and it's not Jeff, just keep your eyes open for a Jeff. So when that person comes to you, when that person
what about
comes
Phil?
To you, I'm not picking up on any Joe.
Phil.
Phil?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm just listening. I'm just listening.
I'm going to sit on my hands on that one, Sam.
That up there.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not at liberty right at this moment, Sam.
Uh-oh.
You know?
Yeah, well.
just be aware that you will never be without love, okay? You'll never go without it. You'll never be without a man being interested in you, and that's what you need to know, and that truly is the message. Not what's going on with this guy, but you'll never be without. Make sure he's the right one for you. You just be very specific and put your wants out there and be very specific as to what it is that you're looking for and make sure you don't settle, okay?
I will try. I'm just, you know, I'm at a vulnerable age, I feel like. Even though I'm young, I'm 30, going on 36. I'm 35, but I feel like I'm, time clock's ticking, things are going tick, 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 tick.
They
you know,
are.
So.
No, you're not wrong
yes.
in feeling that way. They are.
And I'm lonely.
I don't want you to be lonely. So surround yourself with some friends.
Right.
Get yourself interested in some really cool things to do and get your head out of the sky, okay, because you're going to be chasing a pipe dream with him. That's how he's coming up. He's coming up, like, not fantastic as a person. Do you know what I mean?
God, I can't believe that. So I guess I got rid of him right on time.
Yeah. Right on time. Everything happens for a reason.
Exactly.
And like I said, I might be wrong about his name, but I'm not wrong about the energy, okay? I'm not wrong that there's somebody here right now, and you just need to flip the coin because maybe you're just not seeing it yet. But it will come into full view, and then when you get to know this person a lot better, you're going to see what a fantastic fit that is. And then you're going to be very thankful that you let this guy go.
Well, I guess I'll have to move on. I just wish I could get some type of medication to erase the memories of him from my brain.
You can
do that
yourself.
I can't stand it.
Time and space will erase the memory. Being involved in things that occupy your mind, meeting new people, new possibilities, that'll all help.
I'm going to try to stay away from the place that he goes to every Saturday so I don't have to see him. I don't know how long I can do it, but I'm going to try to do it for about 3 months.
I'm not saying you have to go without sex. I'm not saying that, but just don't get in too deep.
Oh, I can't do that either. I can't do that. I'm too emotional with it. That
oh.
I have sex with a guy, then I feel it in my heart. I can't do it. So,
well,
but I'm gonna go a few
it.
Months without seeing his face. Is what I'm saying. I gotta
yeah.
go without seeing his face.
You know what?
Fuck.
If you can't help it, I wouldn't deny yourself either. Don't make yourself crazy with it. I mean, if you need to see him, then God damn it, go see him. However, just try to stay focused on what's real. Just stay focused on what's real. You
oh,
know,
God.
It's hard to be real in your head.
Mm. Well,
change
I'll try.
Change your state of mind, and then you'll change your position. But if you don't change your state of mind, then you're going to do nothing about this.
Well, I just listen to certain music that helps me get through.
There it is.
So.
There it is.
Carol
Make
King.
Make a soundtrack of your life, woman. Make a soundtrack for your life.
Oh, God. Well, all right, then. I guess I got my answer.
You did.
And
I hope I helped you.
I think you did. I was about to pay a psychic, and then Phil was like, no, call in. I got somebody you can talk to.
Absolutely.
I was like,
thank you, Phil.
Yes.
You're welcome. You're welcome, and I'll be sure that you get your contact information, Janine.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, yeah,
give her
but
my contact. You know what, Sam? You can call me. He'll give you my number and everything. You can call me, and we'll make arrangements somehow or whatever. But if you need anything, just give me a buzz.
Where do you live? You're in New York, right?
No, I'm in Massachusetts.
Oh, God, man, I'm in Oceanside.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's I can still do this over the phone. I'm just as good. I'm just as good on the phone as I am in person. It doesn't matter if you're in front of me. All I need is your permission to go forward, and then that's how we'll operate. But if you have a burning question about something or you want a reading, I will make arrangements with Phil, and he can make arrangements with you, and we could do it that way.
Well, Phil's been really nice. I've never met Phil, but I told him that I'd like to see him face to face.
He is outstanding, upfront individual.
Yeah.
I'm hearing. Yes.
So I'm hearing.
Yes.
So I'm hearing. Yeah,
Rainbow
I got his
alert.
Number from.
Rainbow alert.
What?
Here we go.
What's a rainbow alert?
You guys are making
That's
me blush.
An inside joke.
That's the whole point.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, Phil's got, he's got an interesting story.
Yes.
So it seems.
That's why I'm on here, because
the man could write
story.
A book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, friends. God. Well, I'm going to.
Put out friends.
I'm going to have to learn more about it. What? Hey, Phil, where's Bill?
He's got some personal issues going on with his family. His wife is, she had a surgery today, and his sister is in, they put her in the hospice the other day.
Oh, God, man, he's going through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's amazing, though. He said to me the other day, I called to see how he was doing. He said, I've got one speed, and it's cruise. And for someone who's going through so much shit, I mean, he just seems so centered and so calm and cool and collected. I mean, I got to give it to that man.
Yeah, I talk to Bill all the time. He's my relationship counselor. he's how I got Phil's number.
There you go.
So, you know, but yeah, I guess I need to, I don't know.
Don't second guess it. She gave you the answer.
I know. I'm gonna do what I gotta do. Are you guys all from Massachusetts?
Well, Janine and I am. Rather.
Okay.
We're actually worldwide. We have London, Australia, Spain, Italy, Germany. We're worldwide. We just went over 62,000 people today.
Awesome.
Wow.
So it's pretty, I'm pretty stoked I can get 62,000 people to tune in for 2 hours on a Thursday night. That's great.
Yeah,
that
awesome.
Is wonderful, Phil.
And it's just going up every week.
That's
oh,
great.
Wow.
Actually,
well, I mean.
I have a question, Janine.
Yes.
I'm wondering if you see grandchildren in my future anywhere.
Grandchildren, let me see. I'm not getting any zaps off the bat. Let me.
Oh, it wouldn't be right away.
No.
No.
Yes, there are grandchildren here. Is there somebody going after fertility drugs?
No, there's somebody going after a woman.
So we're starting with a woman.
Right.
We're not there. She might have to go for some
Betsy.
Fertility.
Yeah.
You got it. Betsy, you have to say she's caught now. He caught her.
Yeah, he kind of did catch her. But
he
kind of
caught her.
It's still, there's still some stuff in the way, but I've never seen him head over heels about anybody, and I think this is the one. And
you're talking about your son, correct?
Yep.
It's coming.
It's coming. Oh, good.
It
I'm
is.
So happy.
There are some grandchildren here in the works. However,
awesome.
There's going to be a fight. They have to fight for it. So that's where I get the fertility.
Right.
They might have to seek.
I don't
some...
know if it's fertility. I think it's just proximity of, you know.
You better start buying those weekend getaways at the Marriott, Betsy.
Well, my girlfriend works for the Marriott. I'm hooked up there.
Oh, see that?
You better start making phone calls,
Phil.
Then.
Yeah. Well, that's good enough. I don't need to know any more. I'll just take that for now. The rest.
They're going to have to fight for it, but they are here, and they're coming.
Good.
So just be aware of that.
That makes me happy.
Oh,
oh God.
That's what, That's what I want. I want you to be happy.
I am.
Definitely.
If you guys, Janine, Baker's on the call. I'm going to bring Baker in. Sam, this is, I don't know if you heard the song I played, but this is one of my good friends, Baker. And
he's awesome.
Album he just released in December. It's called, and you can get it, you can check it out at bakersongs.com. But Betsy, if you want to listen in too, that would be great.
Yep.
Hello, Baker.
Hey, Philip, how's it going, brother?
Man, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, Janine, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm sorry I missed your call. I know we was going to try to do the reading, and I missed you by 6 minutes, and I just missed it, so we'll have to set up another time. Hopefully a time for me and Sonya to be together and do a reading.
You absolutely. I told you the offer is good for whenever you want, and then I tried getting a hold of you like crazy, and I couldn't. After I called you and I zapped you, I go to bed like at 8 o'clock. So when I schedule readings, and if it doesn't happen, I'm in bed. So that's why I missed your call. And my week has been so slamming between my son's baseball and my two-year-old that I didn't have a chance to call you. But I did tell Hermes, and I did speak to Phil, and I told him that I would try to get a hold of you. So I'm glad that you called in tonight. But you absolutely schedule another appointment. Definitely.
Yeah, I want to schedule an appointment for Sonya and I both to be together and do another reading, because that would be really cool, and I'd really appreciate it.
That's not my house.
Call me whenever you want.
I hear that. Is that your house?
Yeah.
Somebody's
no,
home.
That's not my house. It's somebody else.
Not me.
All right.
Hey, Baker. Greetings from Betsy in Boston.
Hey, greetings. Thank you from Boston. I love Boston, man. I want some clam chowder.
Yo, I'll get you some.
That's great.
I don't know Baker, but... Oh, God, they're pulling someone over. Hi, Baker, it's Samantha. I'm a new caller on the line. I'm a new caller on the line. I'm in Oceanside, California.
Oh, great. I love Oceanside, California, too. Actually, you know, that's my hangout, man, right out there. You know, my brother Philip, right there in Oceanside. I was in the Marines and spent some time over there in Oceanside. And I go
Did
there
you? Yeah, and... I'm actually on Camp Pendleton right now, and these Marines are getting pulled over by military police.
Oh, my God.
Poor thing. Sorry.
Me and my girl, Sonya, we have a target of trying to get to Oceanside, or, you know, we probably don't know if we can afford the Carlsbad thing, but we definitely know that Oceanside's right in the middle of where we want to be, so we're hoping to get out there.
Yeah, Oceanside is cool. It's a cool place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad.
It's picked up a lot. It's picked up a lot since the days of, I was in the Marines in the 80s. So, I mean, it's picked up a lot since the days of that era. You know, it's actually moved up quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. It's cool. It's cool. It's still the same old thing going on here at Camp Pendleton, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, That's that.
This place never changes.
No, it doesn't, man. But the whole city, the thing has just kind of like it's evolved, and that's what I've really. We were out there quite a bit last year, and haven't been yet in 2010. But what I found out is, you know, it's evolved greatly, and it's just, you know, one of the things that's happened that I was pretty shocked at how Oceanside's come along, man, and folks have just, you know, the area is very cool, and when I was there in the Marine Corps. It was like, oh, man, don't go to Oceanside. But, you know, nowadays it's like, oh, yeah, I'm ready to go to Oceanside.
Yeah, there's a lot of Marines try not to hang out over here. They do try to go to San Diego, but it's no different because it's Navy down there.
Yeah,
so
it's six of one, half a dozen of another, I guess. But I actually, from the old days, man, I like Oceanside now. We looked at some cool condos up there, and it's very cool.
Yeah. Well, Bill told me that he looked hard and long for the poorest woman he could find, and he found her in Oceanside, his wife. I was like, yeah, because she came from military housing, dump housing that used to be in Oceanside called Sterling Homes. Like the dumpiest housing that ever existed.
You didn't need a pet. The rats were that big.
What?
You didn't need a pet. The rats were that big.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was awful. It was awful. My family lived there at one point. But So, anyway, I want to get, is it Janine?
Yes.
I got to get Janine's number from you, Phil. So, I guess, because I gotta rush off to go wait for this bus.
Okay.
I'm a Neanderthal.
Okay.
I take the bus.
Okay, we'll
but
get,
you're gonna call me, Phil, right?
I'll get back to you on that one. Thank you for calling in.
All right, call me tonight.
I love you, Sam.
Okay.
All right, love you guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Love you.
So
love you. Thanks for talking to me.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right, hon.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Baker, did you have a question for Janine?
Did I?
Yeah.
I'm not tonight, man. I'm holding back. But I
okay.
would like to say, brother, hold on a second. I had to walk away from the computer because I didn't want the thing to mash up on us.
Okay.
I would like to say to you, brother, and I'm willing to open this up on the air because I really feel, and I'm going to be very cautious about how I say it, but I have received a reasonable amount of things against someone here in Nashville, Tennessee that we thought
right.
was on our team. We thought
right.
it was part of our brotherhood.
Right.
We thought was this, and I don't have because the way my computer's set up right now tonight, I can't post a website. But if you can post that one posting I sent you that shows the newspaper article showing all the the criminal stuff that happened.
Just waiting for the word, brother.
Throw it up there. Throw that criminal site up there. Throw all
okay.
that stuff up there because that is all happening, and I've got a handful of supporters behind me now. And we're going to the wall with this.
Maybe I want to ask Janine about that. Give her a little background.
Well, this guy, man, you know, he's represented himself as he's a poser. There's no doubt about it. He's totally a poser. At one point in time, you know, I'll give him this. He drove a NASCAR race, and in his NASCAR career, he might have made $7,000, and I won't take that away from anybody. Yes, he was there. But as you'll post that site for me, brother, because I can't get it up for my computer reasons, he went out there and took sponsorships, and he did a couple of years federal time for stealing $250,000, representing himself as a NASCAR person. And he went to federal pen, interstate wire fraud. It's all on the website that Phillip's about to post. And went on parole for a while, and now he's still on probation here in the state of Tennessee. And he was one of our sponsors at our charity event that Phillip attended. And some of our other brothers came out of New York and Maryland and everywhere else. And this guy, man, is still a poser. All he's done is changed his life from being a NASCAR poser. Now he says he's a chopper builder. Hmm. And he's out there selling chopper school things to people, to kids, to their families. You know, you've got 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, and their families are putting up this money for their children to attend what is supposed to be a chopper school to learn how to build a chopper. And they come out of this with a certificate that says, I can build a chopper now and go get a job. Well, that doesn't work. Harley-Davidson requires, this has changed spark plugs and tires 1 year worth of technician school. This guy says he can pull that off for 10 grand in 6 weeks. So, with all that being said, there is a consumer issue, you know, where consumers have to be cautious about what they're doing. I do agree. But at the same time, man, he's preyed on vulnerable situations, taking people's money, mostly in the form of deposit. I don't know of anyone that's paid the whole 10 grand. I have a list of people now. I have it officially, Philip, a list
mm-hmm.
of people now, students
right.
and former employees. And,
right.
you know, mostly what he did was get the $2,000 deposit, and folks would come in, and they would say, oh,
I
man,
what's
up where's
put
the
it
curriculum?
Up.
There you go. That's great. So the kids would come in, where's my books, where's my curriculum after a little bit, after the $2,000 deposit on a $10,000 school, and they found out there's nothing really happening. Well, they would lose their $2,000. And because they'd back off and go, geez, I'm not going to pay my next set of tuition because nothing's happening. I don't have any books. I'm being taught by a Harley mechanic, which is, there's nothing knocking about that, but that's not a teacher. Anyway, man, the guy's a freaking poser.
Oh, he's more than that. He's a scam artist.
He's a total scam artist.
Rip
he totally scammed
artist.
All of us. Totally ripped off so many people. I'm so ashamed to be associated with the situation. that I just
but
can't
now,
even imagine.
Did he promise to get you your money or something? Because Phil kind of told me what was going on.
Yeah, man, he did. I mean, what the deal is you know, I went in because he was a sponsor on our charity event.
Mm-hmm.
And he filmed all this stuff and did all this stuff, and he's got all this bling-bling. So on the outside, he's this big flashing, and it kind of resorts back to something you said to me a long time ago about watch out for all the bling-bling kind of things, you know, because that's wrong. And he kind of sucked me in with that because I'm going, anybody that has all this stuff obviously has the bread and the means to do what they're doing. And so I brought a group of men in to do some construction work to help him open his new dealership. And when it comes time to get paid, he's like, I don't have any money. I'm like, what do you mean you don't have any money? It's the same story he's been doing to everyone.
Wow.
It doesn't
so
matter
he
whether
hasn't
it's
changed
his employees.
His MO at all.
He hasn't changed. Yeah, well, here's what he's done. If you look at the website, he burned people for $40,000 to $50,000 apiece because he went to federal prison for $250,000 worth of charges. And that consisted of, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a pop things that he did to folks. Now he's burning guys for $500 to $5,000.
Ah, thinking he's going to be under the radar.
Exactly, because if I get burned for $1,000 or $1,500, shame on me. I'm going to go away with my arms in the air and be kind of pissed off, and, you know, I'm not going to come after him. But if you burn me for $40,000 like you did in the past, you know, I got the ways and means to chase you down.
Right.
So, that
hey,
was
Baker?
With the guy. Yeah.
Baker, Janine says, she just wrote in the chat, and I'll let Janine tell you. Janine, are you there?
I'm right here.
Do you want to tell
Why,
them what
yeah.
you wrote?
Yeah, I have it in front of me. I have a couple things in front of me, Baker, and I want you to know that you don't have to worry about this for too much longer with him. There's somebody else here that's probably going to guide your way, so to speak, okay? And Sonia is a part of your truth, and that's how it's going to be effective. It's because of her also. So I just want you to know this is going to be short-lived. There is going to be restitution, and there is some other man here that is going to help with your quest. But for right now, I know you probably feel very alone in this, but you're not. There's somebody. I don't think he's here yet, though. Okay, here's the thing. Not here yet. He's coming in, and I think he's going to be a money man. I think he's going to be somebody that is going to be a contact person to help you get things done, even financially, not just financially, but also to back you with your planning methods on how you're going to get things done. He's a very intelligent person. He's an older man, and he's going to come into the picture down the road for you.
Well, that's great, and I that's very cool, and I can tell you that, you know, from the bottom of my heart, you know, I don't care. You know, I want the guys that worked on the crew that I assembled to get paid because their family suffered. They put out their own money and their blood and sweat to help this dealership along, and I wish they could get paid. But from the bottom of my heart, it's not about me getting paid anymore and receiving the $5,000. It's about just putting an end to this type of fraud and this type of person who does these things, because that's just totally wrong. And he's just actually gotten better at his scam, and he started it in a different state now, and that's what's happened. And it's not the first time out for him. You know, he's just learned how to be better at it, and he's just doing it somewhere else, and that's all there is to it.
He needs to get his sales deflated for good.
Your connection
Janine,
with this other man is
do you see anything happening to this guy, like maybe some more jail time or something for what he's doing?
I can't do here. I would have to do for Baker. I can't do that here because I would have to flip on that, but I would need Charlie to call me on that one. As far as you go, Charlie, for right now, I want you to know I can't guarantee you that you're going to get paid back what you put out, because that I don't know if that's going to happen for you, but I know that there's going to be some other supporter that you're going to get in contact with that's really going to make mountains move, and he's kind of attuned to your vibe. Like whatever that you put out there, he matches it, and he's a really good person. He shoots from the heart. However, he might have a slight drinking problem.
Oh.
It's coming up that he might – It's coming up that he likes to drink, but however, that doesn't make him less credible. So when you come in, when this person comes into view, I want you to pay attention to their drinking habits, because if it's, if he's not a drinker, then it's probably not him. So that's a that should be just a key to you of who he is. But that guy is, that guy is going to he's going to make mountains move, like I said, with you. With
you. What if he smokes pot?
He could. He could. He could. And he's not,
well,
I'm not saying he's an alcoholic, but he does like to drink. He likes to party, and he likes to have a very fine lifestyle, and part of that is partying. So I want you to look for this man. But this man is a very good man, and he's forthright, and he's just, and he's real. He's not a hoodwinker. He's not going to scam you or anything like that. As far as this guy doing this to you, restitution will be had. I just don't know if it's financial. I don't know if all your men and your crew are going to get financially refunded for what they put out. I don't know. As far as jail time, that has to be another conversation.
Well, I wish the men would get refunded, but in, from where I stand and from what I found about the history, honestly, you know, in better times several years ago, I would have sucked this up, and I would have paid those men out of my pocket, and things would have went a different direction, and I would have approached it differently. But obviously times are tougher, and these men put out their blood and sweat, and they put money out of their pocket for fuel. And I'm not talking about fuel, about getting back and forth. You know, we operated machinery. You know, they bought saw blades and things out of their pockets and expecting to get reimbursed for these materials that he openly said, this person openly said, save your receipts for your saw blades and your materials because I will reimburse for everything. And then he comes across with, I don't have a dime. And so, I feel sorry for them guys, and I don't mean say feel sorry. I wish they could get their recouping. But there's a lot of people that have been burned. And I know that, like I said, on a consumer issue, there are certain things that can be one way. But, I mean, it's easy to be I guess it's easy to be misled in some situations, and all what I see is a con artist that's changed his MO, and he just went from being a poser in NASCAR to being a poser in the biker world. And so I hate that. I hate that perspective because it would be one thing if it was just the new thing. If we were the new guys and this is the first burning of anything, you could say, well, he don't have any history of it. This guy has a blatant history of it. He's done federal time. He's been charged for federal wire fraud, interstate, everything that you can think of, more than $250,000. And I'm just going, wow, man, you know. And here it is again. It's just a repeat performance. And that kind of guy needs to go down.
Absolutely. Can't you, contact some of the other people that were burned to get some kind of suit against him or a actually fraud, you know.
Well, I've got it tonight. I just got an email tonight. I've been working hard on this and diligently, and I have a handful of students and families. I have former employees. I have people that are willing to band together and put this thing in its place, and that's what's important.
Right.
Is having a group of people who are willing to stand up and say, this happened to me, and, I'm not ashamed of it. And, oh, my God, this happened to you. It happened to you, too. Well, geez, it happened to all of us. Let's all get together and do this.
Right.
So I'm very sad that, you know, as far as being a person that likes to organize events and do things, that I'm having to organize this event.
Right.
But it touched us all, and it blindsided all of us. Just as it blindsided the family that wanted their children, their son, to be a chopper builder, it blindsided me as a person who said, you know, I'm working with this guy as a motorcycle shop who handles custom choppers, who's supporting charities. And he attached himself to things that we were doing to make himself look good, and it really makes me sick.
Yeah.
Well, you can't drop the ball on this this quest.
You're breaking up, Janine.
You have to be the gatherer of the people on this, and don't let it go.
Well, Philip, are you still out there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Well, it's worth saying too, man. I'm gonna leave this to you, but you know what else was on the website? And you know, if you want to expose that stuff, it's worth talking about because I think that's wrong as a supporter, and I will say that I am. And I thank you, brother, for helping me because you've helped me greatly, and I'm going to repay that favor very soon. And as a supporter, of everything that, you know, you and I both believe in. I think that what he
He was trying to misrepresent himself as a favorite of the red and white, and
that's
he had
right.
some things
exactly.
on his website.
Right.
He had some things on his website that mysteriously disappeared after I talked to him.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, if you would copy me in, I will also make sure that I put out an alert about this guy
to
people on my list and everything, so that other people realize. You know, we'll just slam him and make sure that hopefully nobody else falls prey.
He's a custom bike builder, and he sells bikes all over the country like many custom bike builders do. He says he's a custom bike builder. He's really not. He's selling some brand names. He's selling brand names, you know, that I really don't want to mention, but brand name choppers in his dealership. And so that could be shipped anywhere. And with that, you know, he's definitely represented himself as someone who is possibly affiliated with the red and white. Now, I say I'm a supporter of the red and white, and I'll say it all day long, but I don't sit there and paint this picture of, okay, you know, look at me because of, you know, he tries to paint himself as a badass, you know, he tries to paint himself as a badass.
He was doing that hoping that he wouldn't get, any flack from anybody he burned.
That's right.
I think he was doing it from an ego cool standard, you know. I think he was just looking at it like, you know, look at me. I'm too cool for school, you know, don't touch me or don't, you know, here's where I'm at, you know. And, I mean, I think that's a wrong way. I'll be a supporter all day long, but I'm definitely not going to sit up there and play too cool for school with all that, you know. It's just, you know, it's not what it's about.
Right.
And so he's trying to be a tough guy.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is Janine still there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Hey, Janine, Art had a question. Art, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Janine's on the line.
Hey, Janine.
Hi, Art.
Hey, listen, I've got some friends that are going through some really hard physical times right now.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that they're going to get their health back enough to go riding again, at least.
Okay.
But they're really in some hard times right now, and I'm kind of wondering, you know, if we're looking at an end to this, maybe a bright light somewhere in the future.
Okay. Is there one of them that has a head injury? Is there a head injury amongst the group?
The one guy has got a bunch of different ones, cancer.
Okay.
And then the other lady's got a problem with her feet and her ankles.
Her feet and her ankles. Nothing with
yeah.
Nothing pertaining to a head.
Not that I can think of.
Okay, let me see. What? Okay, are they going to ride again? The ultimate answer is yes. They will ride again. The recovery for the cancer patient's going to be a little bit longer than they would like. And it's not due to physical problems. It's actually due to emotional problems. So for whatever reason, they're hanging on to the sensation of whatever their body's going through. So actually the medicine is working great, but they're emotionally hanging on to stuff. So that person might take a little longer. The woman with the foot problem, that will heal nicely when she does heal, and they will be riding again. That is the ultimate answer. Now, this head injury one, I get that it's not so much a physical head injury, but more like mental problems. So
that's the guy with the cancer. Yeah, he's been pretty down.
Does he have depression or mental problems?
He had a lot of depression, and I'm hoping that he's getting over it as he's getting physically well. You know,
he is getting physically better, and however his mind is not getting him better. So he needs to shift his state of mind to have him heal faster. But he's not doing that. So maybe that's where you could come in and maybe get him some light and get him some happiness and get his head out of it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Janine, excuse me for a minute. We're down to about a minute and a half.
Okay.
And I apologize, Art.
Okay.
No, go ahead. Finish.
Oh, okay. Does that help you at all? Does that
it does.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. A whole lot. It does.
Okay. Is there three of you that ride together a lot?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, the three of you will be back together, and that is the message. It's the three. And the three will be back. I don't have a timeline.
Okay. Well, you know, as long as there's a light, that's a big factor there.
At the end of the tunnel, there is the light. It is here. I see it. But I don't know the road to recovery. I don't know how long that is.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I can work with that.
Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Thank you for choosing me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Okay, Phil, what you got to go, guy?
All right. I'll let you guys go.
Thanks for calling in.
It was great. I appreciate
it
a lot.
Thank you all.
I'll give you a buzz tomorrow.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye, Betsy.
Bye, honey. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right.